opportunity and pleasure, as I've been telling you this today, to visit with the CEO of Montgomery County Memorial Hospital and Clinics, Mr. Mike O'Neill. Mr. O'Neill, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Aaron.
Pleasure to see you.
Thank you for having me.
What a beautiful day.
Yep. Man. A little chilly this morning, but it's turned out to be very nice.
We had a little frost this morning.
Yeah, it was cold.
So, you know, they say, what is it, Mother's Day or something? You're supposed to wait till after Mother's Day
to plant.
Yeah, so those old wives' tales prove,
yeah, it's interesting
they
say
prove
that.
True.
And I've got to give a little plug to our Chamber of Commerce because I'm doing that leadership Red Oak program right now.
Sure.
I've waited 4.5 years to do that program, but a few of us from the hospital are doing that. We did visit with the at the greenhouse out there, and that's one of the things he said. Don't plant till after Mother's Day out there.
There's but some wisdom. That's
been quite a program to go around the community.
Learn some good things with that, don't you?
You know, we do a lot of special things in this community. I am so surprised of what we do. You know, I truly believe that our communities are cyclic in that, you know, our downtowns used to be so prosperous and flourished. And then, you know, take a little hit with some of the mega stores and things like that. But you know what? We're doing good. We're bringing businesses into town. And I think it's been a great experience to see behind the doors and all the things that we're doing here.
There's a resiliency there that is pretty remarkable.
You know, so it takes a lot of guts.
Yes, that's for sure.
Good for them, that entrepreneurial spirit.
Absolutely. So just quick, Mr. O'Neill, so how long have you been now at the helm? 3 months officially?
Yeah, I think it was March 16th.
Okay, yeah.
Was when we had the final transition.
Now, you've been there for 4 years.
Four and a half now.
Okay.
Yep.
Good deal. Well, it's a pleasure to visit with you.
Well, thank you.
I hear a lot of good things. Well, let's start. We have a lot to dive into here, Mr. O'Neill. I want to start first. One of the things that is really special about MCMH Plus Clinics is all the volunteers that are involved that make everything work. There are a bunch of them. More than 100. I mean, many, 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 many volunteers. Talk to me a little bit about your volunteers.
Oh, you know, everything from the auxiliary to the foundation to our community programs that we offer throughout the community. You know, and so we were, I guess, I'm excited to say that we were able to give back to them this past month and recognize all of the volunteers that support our community, support our hospital, and had a nice breakfast out there for them. So that was really, really nice to do that and provide that and a little opportunity to speak with those and get to talk with those folks. And I'm just amazed at what it takes to be a volunteer. As you know, coming from Hamburg and going through the 2011 and 2019 floods, it never really hit me until I went through the floods and how many volunteers come out of the woodwork and say, and what is it, four little words? How can I help? How can I help? Yes. Yeah. And easy words to say, but it means so much when you've been hit with something devastating.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is important, and they do tremendous work.
Yes.
That is for sure. Their contribution. I mean, you know what? Honestly, I'm doing this from memory, so this is dangerous. But I think the auxiliary has given in excess of $1 million back, you know, through fundraising and over the last, I think it started in the 60s or something. I mean, it is remarkable.
Yeah, the equipment, that life-saving equipment at times that they support for us. And other times it's things that mean so much to the employees, like ice cream machines.
we have to have priorities
that,
here.
That get people excited. But it is... it's very gratifying, not only for them, but especially for us and the patients that get to use the end result of all of that effort.
The other thing that it just wouldn't work, Mr. O'Neill, without nurses. It just wouldn't work without the nurses.
Yeah.
And we have a big week going now.
We have a big week, National Nurses Week. So shout out to all of our nurses. Yes, you know, we've... Got to have some events here this week, which started on the 6th of this month and goes to the 12th. Got to provide some breakfast for our nurses, and I think build your own bouquet at the hospital and some gifts and things for our nurses. So, you know, it's just might seem as something little to give back to our nurses, but... You know, there are some dark moments in nursing, as you can imagine, but there's also some bright moments as well. And we have some awesome nurses at the hospital and clinics, so yeah. that do so much for us and our community. But great, they're there when we need them.
Yes, 100% agree. I come from a family of nurses, too, by the way.
Oh,
you
boy.
Didn't know
yeah.
that, but
no,
I do.
I didn't.
But I do think, and I've said it many times, and I continue to say it, our nurses are working with people many times when they're having a very bad day.
Yeah.
And they do it professionally, and they do it well.
Yeah.
So hats off to them.
Yeah, I get the...
And they get to see the good days, too, when everything is better, and they're, you know, see the positives as well. So
yeah, so I get the fortunate experience to support those who take care of the
yes.
sick, right?
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. Mike O'Neill with me. Mike is the CEO of Montgomery County Memorial Hospital and Clinics. Now, Mr. O'Neill, there have been a couple of trustees meetings, and I want you to bring me up to date. In every trustees meeting, you always have your administrative reports, which would be your report to the board, chief financial officer, chief nursing officer, and the chief clinical officer. Bring me up to date with some of those leadership updates and reports.
You bet. Well, of course, we always have our medical staff updates, and this year is Dr. Scott Hoffman, which he always does an excellent job, but as well as also our senior leadership at the hospital, Bryant Blair, of course, our CFO, who you visited with mm-hmm. me not too long ago, Crystal Feta, who's come out here several times, and Shauna Boswell as well, our chief clinical officer as well, gave their reports. You know, right now we're really trying to focus on our expenses. You know, we buy. But with that, there's always a cost.
Yes.
So really, it's budget time of year uh-huh. this year. So Bryant gets to work with all of our department heads on that. But doing a great job. You know, our folks are very fiscally responsible in that they, to offset a lot of this cost, we have to bring in new services. So, you know, that's one of the things that we'll talk about here in a moment are all the services that we try to bring out here to really to help so our folks don't have to drive up to the city. But, you know, here in the past couple months, we also have applied for some grant opportunities as well. So we were recently visited by the state Medicaid director, mm-hmm. Lee Grossman, and Senator Mark Costello from this area as well, talking through some of those grant opportunities as well as some of the DPP funding or Medicaid-directed payment program funding. It's really just trying to stabilize these hospitals financially to offset what we would consider the low Medicaid reimbursement that we've gotten mm-hmm. over the years. And so this DPP funding has really helped us out. So we talked to both Mr. Grossman and Costello about those programs as well as the grant opportunities. So with those grant opportunities, as you know, Aaron, we are hoping to bring robotics here to
yes.
Montgomery County. That's exciting. You know, robotics is the future in healthcare, as well as some other things like AI, artificial mm-hmm. intelligence. But we really know the importance of not only people requesting robotics in our physicians, but also the surgeons that are requesting robotics. Surgeons coming out today from schools, that's what they're trained on is robotics, the
right.
use of robotics. So we understand the importance of that. There's also a very big cost to that.
You can imagine.
So to help offset yeah. that cost, we've applied for some additional funding for that. We should hear towards the end of the month whether or not we receive that funding for that. And also wrapped up in that funding is some staffing support as well. We're also... in coordination with Shenandoah Medical Center, we are working with them on another grant. As you know, we share oncologists mm-hmm. with Shenandoah as well. So that has been a great relationship over the years. But now we're trying to enhance that relationship by adding additional oncology support with that through some additional funding, which could support recruitment of more physicians, more mid-levels or APPs and equipment and things of that nature. So this southwest corner of Iowa could be a center of excellence for oncology. So building that program up.
Would that funding come through some of those grant opportunities, or how would that funding come for the additional staff?
Yeah, that's all wrapped up in that same grant as well, okay. That Shenandoah and three other hospitals, along with MCMH, applied for. It's kind of a spoken hub or a hub and spoke model, okay. If you will, with ourselves, Clarinda, Hamburg, So I think it's a great opportunity to grow a program because
is this grant? So you'll know by the end of the month, you say, about if it's awarded or not. You feel good about it? Hopeful?
I do feel hopeful.
Am I hopeful?
You know, there's always plan B.
Well, yeah.
And
yeah.
We have to be prepared for that as well,
uh-huh.
Which we are.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the plan A, yes, I am hopeful for that grant opportunity. We took a lot of time to write that grant and make sure that we dotted our I's and crossed our T's there.
Now, the robotics one is one of the that we've had the opportunity to visit a couple of times about some of that and what that looks like. And my goodness, what a piece of equipment, number one. And like you said, it's very expensive. As mm-hmm. one, I mean, everything seems to be expensive, but when you get into the medical profession, it really is. And you can see why.
Yeah.
You're operating on people with this, but oh my goodness, the technology is unbelievable.
Yeah, that piece of equipment alone is over $2 million.
Yeah.
To be able to get something like that. And the additional equipment that's required to sterilize as well, that's another $500,000 on top of that. So you're over two and a half, somewhere around that.
To get it in the door.
To get it in the door.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, of course, Dr. Grass has been part of all of this as well, so he's been great in visiting with other hospitals that already use this technology, and some of the surgeons or specialists in other areas, urology, gynecology, they already used robots in other areas. These are ones that we have currently visiting.
Mm-hmm.
And once we get that here in the door, they'll do those same procedures here
instead
of going somewhere else for those things.
Like you say, this is where medicine is at, and then where it is going in the future, probably even more so.
Yeah, you know, it is one of those things that you have to get on board with it. You just do. I was just thinking as I was driving out here, all the things. You know, I always look back to my parents and think, boy, you saw a lot of change in your life, right? The advent of the telephone and all those things. But really, when you think of our lifetime, it was computers, the internet. You know, all of those things that it's common now, but I just got back from Kansas City, spent 3 days down there, a team of us, 10 of us, spent 3 days down at the Oracle headquarters down in Kansas City because we use their health information system here at the hospital, learning about AI, artificial intelligence. It's coming. You're not going to stop it. And it'll be incorporated in our health information services at many different levels, all the way from how you schedule an appointment to how you receive a bill.
I got to tell you, you know, you talked about those changes through the years, and a lot of the stuff that I've read, not just in healthcare, but in society in general, that the, you know, people that study that sort of thing say that the transitions and the things that are coming because of AI will be more unbelievable than anything we can even imagine at this point because of some of the stuff that's coming along with that. And, we're going to see some really remarkable stuff.
You know, agentic AI is what they call it. You know, AI or what we're used to using like chat. You ask it a question, it gives you, or ChatGPT, you ask it a question, it gives you an answer. But this, you ask it something, it goes and does something for you in the background and then brings all this stuff right to you.
It's remarkable.
So,
it really
is. Yes, it is very remarkable.
And we're visiting with Mike O'Neill, CEO of Montgomery County Memorial Hospital and Clinics. So let's talk a little bit, Mr. O'Neill, about our workforce. I know that you're doing some workforce education or development with the workforce. Talk to me a little bit about that, your leadership development, your RN, your clinical ladder that you have going on there. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, it's always important that we reinvest in our workforce. And so a couple of things we're really working on there. Crystal Feta is working extremely hard on. This is now year two of our LPN-RN clinical ladder program. And it's really focused on our staff engagement, retention, clinical excellence, and structured advancement pathways. for some of our LPNs and RNs out there. You know, I got to sit in on reading some of the work that the first year program entrance submitted. And yeah. I tell you, some of them do a lot of extra work to try to get as many points as they can on this on these projects, because it all adds up for them, as you can imagine. But a lot of the things that they do, not only are we looking inside the walls of the hospital, but also in the community, in their leadership involvement in the community. So all of these things add up, you know, on this scoring sheet that we have. But yeah, I'm really thrilled. And I'm really thrilled the number of entrants that we already have on this year too, as well. So very excited about that, focusing on that engagement and retention, and growing and fostering our staff out there. You know, but we're also, you know, locally, regionally here, working with our local colleges, as well, the Switch program, the Southwest Community College, Iowa Western, as well, to become a training location for the for rural health. That's been important, not only for us, but to help these programs as well grow and foster. Because, you know, some of these folks, they go to school, and then we receive them, and some things maybe they didn't see or didn't, you know, experience. If we can be part of that, I think that's great, number one. Number two, if we they do happen to come here and work and they like it, maybe they'll come back. So those are things, I mean, that's a win-win, you know. For everyone.
You know, it wasn't too long ago, there was, and I don't know where we're at now, but there was a real shortage of some of our nurses. I know a lot of nurses left the field. And if this, if you can help develop and foster those healthcare professionals to stay and get an education right here and then continue to work in the community, that everybody wins.
You know, there still is a shortage. There still is a shortage. We have some nurses that are going on to become APPs or advanced practice providers. That again leaves a hole in our in our nursing profession as well. I think we're on the heels now of what happened during COVID-19 and burnout and things like that, and people leaving the field. I'm hoping.
Your fingers are crossed. I see you over there.
That's all we can hope for. But in the meantime, we can work with our local high schools on the Forge program, like we've done here in the past. We just got through with year number two on the Forge program, so shout out to them as well in our partnership with Red Oak Community Schools. But, you know, I get to visit with those, as well as some of our other staff, get to visit with those kids, both when they first start through the year, the school year, and then now we're visiting with them on their exit interviews. And I was just talking with them the other day. If I were sitting there when I was 18, I wouldn't have been half as knowledgeable of what I wanted to do as these kids. Some of these kids are so focused on their future. Now, of course, I'm looking, I suppose, at the cream of the crop. But, you know, some of these kids are so focused on where they want to go in life. And you know what? The majority of them want to come back here.
That's awesome.
That's exciting. So I think we had eight out there this past year. Majority of them say, I want to come back here. So that's important. You know, I've been part of some other programs with medical students, for example, who do the rural rotations at hospitals, where I've also been in a leadership position, and visiting with them. What they want to do usually is they want to specialize in as many things as they can up front, learn as much as they can. And maybe when they're 50, they'll come back out here. I'd love to get our young folks back out here.
And the other thing too, just random thought, that when you're talking healthcare, it is a nurse, it is a doctor, but there are so many more aspects. We talked about AI, because that's a whole well, information technology has been huge in healthcare for years, but you add AI into that, this is a whole new sector that's coming along. There's so many opportunities when you say healthcare, that could mean. I mean, it really is remarkable.
Oh, yeah. You know, one of the things is we're looking at AI and building policies, procedures guardrails around the use of AI. We firmly believe, and even those folks that we're talking with, they were introducing this AI, a human should be at the end of that no matter what. So that is important. And that nurse will be right there on the backside of that AI to ensure that, you know, what was done, what was said, all of those things
right.
can be reviewed by the nurse, the doctor, the lab tech, the rad tech, you name it. That's a very important, especially you developing bet. These policies and
yep.
procedures.
100%. Mike O'Neill with me, CEO of Montgomery County Memorial Hospital and Clinic. So, Mr. O'Neill, a lot of great partnerships, a lot of great potential coming with the Forge program and that sort of thing. But one of the things that you mentioned earlier was services, additional services and services that you have. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So, we're working with MD West One, who we brought on about a year ago.
Yes.
Right?
Boy, and, that has been quite the partnership, hasn't it?
Yeah. So working with a new pain specialist there, Dr. Riley, who are working to bring it some more pain specialists here to the facility, but also neurosurgery as well. So those should be starting this month as well. So we are continuing to develop that as well. And then a new orthopedic shoulder surgeon, Dr. Sam DeBro, joining MD West One. He starts here in May
okay.
as well. So he'll be seeing patients 2 days per month. So I think we've got everything from the head to the toe.
You got all the joints covered.
I think so. I think we're getting there,
yeah.
which
wow.
is great.
That's awesome.
I mean, if you would ask me a year ago how far this would have gone, I would have never, you know, said it would have went this far. But these things are important for our small communities, so our folks don't have to drive up to the city.
Certainly.
So that relationship has really taken off, and again, our pain specialist as well. So we're excited about that, and talking through all the items necessary to be able to provide those services, all the equipment and things like that. And of course, we talked about the costs associated
mm-hmm.
with that. But
mm-hmm.
but yeah, that's we'll get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, all the services that you provide, all of your clinicals that are offered, you can do just almost everything right here, close to home.
You know, some of the other things, I think programs that we start out there really come from the folks inside. Our pharmacist right now, pharmacy director, Sherston Williard, is actually working on a warfarin Coumadin clinic that has taken off. Right now. So, you know, we have a lot of folks on blood thinners, things like that, that can be now led by a pharmacist. And so providing those opportunities, make sure that their medications are okay. You know, they're getting their blood work and things like that done right. And, you know, that education around those types of things, you know, medications are dangerous. So we want to make sure those people are taken care of. So, you know, thanks to Sherston and the pharmacy team and our medical staff out there, we've now started that clinic and doing a great job. So if anyone's interested in that, talk to your provider about that you're on one of those medications for those blood thinners. So that's been really good.
Okay. What else do we need to touch on, Mr. O'Neill?
You know, we talked at the board meeting about one of the hot topics here in the community most recently, and that's EMS. Our EMS transfers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I had the opportunity to go to one of the Board of Supervisors, County Board of Supervisors meetings here the other day, and I'm actually pretty excited because the County Board of Supervisors is now kind of assisting in collaborating with both the city and the hospital. Of course, we're working on the transfers as well. So I think, you know, coming together and forming a relationship, forming a team we'll put together, I think is going to be important in all of this. So we can get the leaders of the community together. We can get the folks that it impacts, like the hospital, mm-hmm. a voice at the table so that we can, there are some things that possibly we could do right now today that would help assist with some of these things. But I think we all need to be on the same page. So
I agree.
I think that is a great step forward.
You know, this is a topic that has been, well, honestly, it's been talked about for a good long while. This whole EMS thing and transfers, that's been many years, actually, in the making and in discussion, and it's been addressed. And it's not really an easy solution, necessarily. I mean, it's going to take, like you say, people coming together, I think, at the table with the spirit of working together and saying, let's solve this, because it's solvable. All problems can be solved. It just takes people working together.
Yeah. Fortunately, unfortunately, or whichever way you want to look at it, you know, I had to do this in Fremont County as well, or in Hamburg as well, where the city and the hospital, because same situations, you know, we don't want people laying in a bed in our ED. We want them in and out as quickly as possible. And there are sometimes we can call up to 10 different agencies around from 2 hours away just to come and have no luck whatsoever. So this is not systemic to just Red Oak. But again, back to Hamburg, we were fortunate enough to have a fire captain who worked with us, and we came up with a model whereby, you know, the hospital employed the paramedics, the EMTs, and they maintained the equipment. We did both 911s and transfers, but that worked in that model. They are all voluntary down there. Different model here. So, you know, what that looks like, I'm 100% sure we can come to some solution here.
Yeah, that would be great, and that would make a lot of people happy.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
so that is for sure. And I appreciate your willingness to take that on, Mr. O'Neill. So, Mike O'Neill, CEO of Montgomery County Memorial Hospital and Clinics. What else do we need to touch on, Mr. O'Neill? You have there's a lot. Every time I have the opportunity to visit with, you know, I spoke with Sherston Williard and Mr. Weston not too long ago, and then I have the opportunity and pleasure to visit with a lot of your folks, and I'm just blown away at everything, all of the programs that are offered, all the clinics that are offered, the professionals that you have when I get to visit with them. I mean, it's just it's remarkable. And what do you, 350, 400 employees right here in Montgomery County and Red Oak. I've said before, I'll say it again, I don't think you can overstate the importance of MCMH and clinics to Red Oak, to Montgomery County, and to Southwest Iowa. I think it's tremendously important.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. You know, I know out there, we always feel like, okay, now we can slow down.
Nah, it never happens, though, does it?
It doesn't happen. So, you know, I there's just a tremendous, tremendous amount of work that's happening across MCMH and clinics. Some, I think it's going to be pretty exciting here in the next couple months that we're looking at, and but our focus does remain, I think, on just strengthening local healthcare, strengthening that access, and then just supporting our workforce, and getting back to basics. You know, taking care of our people, growing the services close to home. Those topics are important to rural hospitals.
Yep,
and that's the template. We just need to stay the course on that.
Very good. What else do we need? Anything else we need to touch on, Mr. O'Neill?
No, I think you've covered a lot. We've covered a lot in a couple months.
We did cover a lot there. What's the rest of your day hold today?
Meetings. More meetings.
There you go. All right. Well, hopefully I haven't made you late for those meetings.
You have not.
Okay.
We're good.
Very good. Well, I want to say thanks for coming out. I always enjoy the opportunity to visit and learn more about what's going on. So I sure appreciate you stopping out, visiting with me, and I think people are truly interested in what's going on, and everyone refers to the hospital, MCMH Plus Clinics. I think everyone is truly interested in what's going on, and what a great way to then hear from yourself. So thank you so much.
Yeah, at some point here, we'll have to look at that name, right? Because MCMH Plus Clinics plus pharmacies plus, you know, how many pluses can you add?
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, again, kudos to our nurses out there.
Yep.
They do excellent work. I'm thrilled that I get to work with them every single day. So I hope everyone listening today understands how important our nurses are to us, to our health. And I'm just excited that I can be part of it.
Very good. Make it a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mike O'Neill, CEO of Montgomery County Memorial Hospital and Clinics, with me this afternoon. Time now to take a look at the Crop Progress and Condition Report, brought to you by the Hartstack Auction Group. Cam Hartstack, real estate.